This is a desktop movie. Hey, Nick, you know this, but the listening audience may not know this, but I've been recording conversations for a minute now and calling them podcasts. Been doing it for a little bit now. So you're probably a little bit more aware of this than those listening, because I'm such an expert at this point. But I have been up less than 30 minutes, and I just wanted to impart I just wanted to dote on myself, I guess, for a second. Cause I mean, I'm carrying myself. But I also wanted to share, I had a dream that you and I ordered Chipotle while we're having like a picnic in like the ditch behind it, like a strip mall.
Okay.
And that was it. I don't know. I've only had Chipotle twice in my life. And now a third time if you count dream times.
I mean, in your dream, was it good at least?
I didn't get to the food.
Bummer.
I was feeling peckish, and I was like scrolling through some futuristic UI looking at different restaurants, and you were like, we're getting Chipotle, and I was like, all right, that sounds good. And I was like, I'll just get a little something from Chipotle. So clearly what I wanted to accomplish with this intro is say happy birthday, Paul Dano. It's Paul Dano's birthday today.
All right, let's start this off with a dream, a plug for a restaurant that does not sponsor us. And immediately date the episode of when we recorded it.
Absolutely.
Versus when it's coming out.
Absolutely. I used to be opposed to dating when the episodes came out, but you know what? I don't really fully know why. How are you doing?
It's all good. You know, I'm doing okay, trying to survive the heat wave that's going across the U.S. I know I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. I know it's been pretty toasty in Thailand since you guys have been there.
Yeah, but we have a different kind of heat. So like, I think you're all within your rights to be preaching, because we get lots of rain here too, and it kind of we get waves of not heat. When it does get hot, those UVs, you feel them, but. It's a different heat. I don't envy you.
Yeah. Today, like, hasn't been that bad this past week. It's gotten to the hundreds. But today, like, it was like high 80s. Like, it really wasn't that bad. But it was the UVs that was bad. Like, you went outside and you could just feel the sun on your skin. Like,
they zap you, man. That's what I can't stand that zap when you're just like, especially if you get caught out in it, and which kind of sounds like, because we both just talked about getting caught out in it, and when you're like, oh, I don't have anywhere but my destination to hide from this, and oh boy.
Yeah, we went to a dog park, and there's like an entrance, and it leads to a body of water where the dogs can go and swim, and that walk is about a third of a mile. Like, it's not too bad, but boy, that walk back from the lake. Like, me and both my dog were like, oh, okay, there's a tree there. We're going to go lay down under that tree for a little bit. It's like, it's not that far back to the car, but we had to take like four breaks because we were both like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, no, it is. Stay out of the sun. That's a game we play here with all the tall buildings. Yes. With lots of crossing from one side of the street to the other side of the street.
Yes. Stay out of the sun, wear your sunblock. Drink lots of water. Anyways, what are we even doing here? We're talking about dreams and how to avoid heat stroke.
Yeah. We are recording our monthly podcast, 2D or Not 2D. It's a podcast discussing animated films and trying to hit some corners of the animated world that are, you know, maybe not as prevalent as some of the more bigger animated films. They've come a long way since Snow White, and we want to talk about them.
What a beautiful description. I wasn't sure what this was about, but man, do I not have any questions now. It is
clear as mud, as they say. Before we get into our movie this month, Nick, what else have you been watching?
Oh boy, did I talk about the last anime I binged on this podcast, or was that just personal between you and me?
I think that was just between you and I.
Okay. I binged Review Starlight, which is a very fun anime about stage girls that have to battle each other in underground battle matches to basically steal each other's shine and become the top star. And there is a giraffe involved. There's some mystical workings going on. And it's wonderful. It's really, really good. There is a movie that goes along with it that I saw in theaters as well. And also there's a nice little gacha game you can play on your phone. But yeah, there's that. And then last night, actually, I watched Midnight in Paris for the first time with my partner. And we both really, really enjoyed it. And you'll never guess who stars in this movie if you haven't seen it.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure I know.
Yeah.
It's Owen Wilson, right?
Yes, it's Owen Wilson.
Okay, sorry.
It sounds like such an artsy film, and which, I mean, it is. It's a really, really good film. It was just like, Midnight in Paris, Owen Wilson, what? Hold on, what is this about? I guess we're going to watch it.
Owen's got a soft side, you know? He does some soft, I don't know why soft, we should probably remove that from like the lexicon for what it's like. This is like a little bit more thoughtful. It's soft. but does some Wes Anderson stuff too. Yeah. No, I haven't seen Midnight in Paris, but I've heard it's good.
Definitely recommend it. It is on Netflix until the end of this month. So definitely, you know, if you can sneak it in, I would definitely recommend. There's a lot of good actors in that movie, and it's a really good storyline. But yeah, it's nice to see, like, I know actors have a range, but some actors are very typecast, such as Owen Wilson, and like the other one I think of is like Steve Carell or like Jim Carrey. And then they do have these like more serious movies that are like, oh, this is actually really good, even though it's like not in their normal wheelhouse.
Yeah.
No,
absolutely. Yeah. I didn't mean to be like, of course Owen Wilson has weird. No, like, yeah, he's.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It's definitely not a normal one from. I'll have to check that out. And then what was the name of that? I keep wanting to call it Anime Starlight Express, and that is so not right.
It's Review Starlight.
Review Starlight. Review Starlight. But
it's R-E-V-U-E, not R-E-V-I-E-W.
Yeah, you had told me about that, and you were like, it's a little out there, and then you were describing it, and I was like, this sounds like just like an anime, kind of like one of the more like animes that I've heard. And then you're like, and there's a giraffe. And I was like, well, like, yeah, I kind of do want to watch it now. I hate that that's what pulled me in. But for some reason, the presence of a giraffe like really ratchets it up.
It really does. And like, there's a lot. It's one of those animes that you as the viewer are like, why are none of the characters questioning this? Like, please, can someone just ask, why is there a giraffe here? Pretty please, but no one questions it. So it's like, it's really good, but like frustrating in that way. When it was recommended to me, it was likened to like Madoka Magica, which is definitely a very good description. It's just like one of those animes that like starts out pretty easy to follow and then like slowly gets a little more like chaotic and like, wait, what is happening? very good.
Review Starlight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was like, yes, okay, start, because it feels like it should start with Starlight. I know that's my own thing. That's my own problem. You have like a pretty big repertoire of anime now, so like, where does that fit? Because I know you're a big Full Metal Alchemist head, and I just wanted to call you that for some reason.
Yeah, I was like, that felt prepared.
No, you've got, I mean, we've talked a lot about anime. Where does that one fit in terms of like top I don't know, where does it fit in a top anime for you, like in terms of lists?
You
top
know,
five,
like,
top 10, or?
Yeah, I've never like sat down and like thought about that, but I would probably say it's in my top 10. Because it is only 12 episodes.
Love it.
It has 12 episodes, has a movie. So I think it would have potential to like be higher, but because the, you know, a lot of these other animes have multiple seasons and like 30 plus episodes. So it's a lot easier to get super invested into those like worlds. So this one's like a little harder because it is a shorter one to be like, oh, like this is really, you know, amazing. Mm-hmm. It is really good, easily digestible. So like I would definitely put it in my top 10, maybe not my top five, but top 10.
Nice. I have been watching.
Wait.
What?
Hey, Brian, what have you been watching?
I have been watching a number of things. I've been watching a lot of M. Night Shyamalan movies for another podcast we do. My partner, Donna, and
not,
I do.
Not we.
Right, right. The collective we in my... called... on the Bargain Den, we've been doing the Bargain Den at night and been watching through all of M. Night's movies. And so... watching a lot of their work. Then I've also been watching a handful of different things. I jumped back into Neon Genesis and got into that. I still haven't gotten very far in, I think, the original series.
Okay, you're on the original series?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's on the one that, I think there's a couple on Netflix, but one of the ones on Netflix.
Yeah. The original series is on Netflix, and then the movies that like precede it are also on there. And then the I keep forgetting what they're called, like the remakes or whatever, are on Amazon Prime.
Gotcha. So yeah, I've been going through that. I'm only three or four episodes in, but I got like, it's one of those things that, you know, where you have to get hooked into a show, and I was like, I need to get back into this. And yeah, so I've been enjoying that, kind of found the hook in that and liking that on your recommendation. I'm like 2 years behind you or something or whatever. Probably not 2 years, like a year, like whatever you're like, you recommended Full Metal Alchemist and made it through all of that. And then I was like, I'll do it. And I finally did it. And so
but you're still not through Brotherhood.
I'm still not through Brotherhood.
This is a call out podcast. Brandon still hasn't watched Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, even though I'm his best friend. And I suggested it so long ago.
I watched all of the first season, the one that came before Brotherhood. Mm-hmm.
The 2003.
Solely on your recommendation. And I
do appreciate it.
Thank you. And now I'm doing Neon Genesis. I will get through Brotherhood, call darn it. I tried to start it right after I finished the first one, and I was a little bit edged out. And so I wanted to appreciate it properly. So I've taken a pause.
Sorry, we can cut this out if you want, but I do have another related call out.
Sure.
I cannot believe that you did not tell me that the English voice actors for Roy Mustang and Lust are Laura Bailey and Travis Willingham. Why would you not tell me that?
I have told you many times, Nick. No. I have. I swan to John. I will keep this in because I remember being like, yeah, you should watch Critical Role. And I found out that a couple of the voice actors are the American voice actors of Full Metal Alchemist.
I feel like I would have remembered that. So maybe you weren't specific when you told me. Like maybe you just said a couple of them, or like, I don't know.
Taking several sips of my coffee here because... I have some core memories of referencing that. Call out your call out here.
All right, fine. Checkmate. Like,
no, yeah, but it is. It's Travis Willingham and Laura Bailey. They're both in that, and they're excellent. Did I watch it in English? I don't remember. But yeah, they're excellent.
Yeah, I think you did because you, like, we had a discussion about like how much you liked the voice act, the English voice actor for Al.
Yeah, no, yeah, I did. Yeah, and they were great. They were fantastic. That's like two of their bigger roles too, apart from Critical Role. Speaking of Critical Role, though, that's also what I've been watching. They're airing through the month of June a miniseries called Exandria Unlimited Calamity. And
at the time of this coming out, it is already over.
Yes, and I watched a bit of the first episode, and then I was like, you just sometimes you got to take a break. Those are long shows, and sometimes it's hard to get into live action podcasts with D&D because they're so long, and you have to get invested into those characters. And so watched a bit of the first episode, and I was like, I'll come back to this. And I did pretty much right as the final episode was airing. And man, is it good. It is.
It is very good.
Oh, have you been watching?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
I watched the last episode until about 11:30, and then I went to bed. So I have to finish the last episode once it's uploaded. But I kept up with all of them.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. I didn't know that. It's awesome, isn't it? He's bringing.
It's really, really good.
Ooh, man. I don't think it's a spoiler, but the fireworks were killing me. Oh my gosh. The fireworks display, oh, so good. Yeah.
Brandon Lee Mulligan is an excellent creator.
yeah. And it's, I don't know, it's one of those, we talk a lot about Critical Role here, it seems like. But as far as like D&D play in terms of media, it's like one of the more like, I don't know, it's like high level D&D play. Like I think it, the actors playing their characters had to do a lot of work, it seems like, to just jump into these high level, well-established characters, and they've done really, really well. And so I'm almost finished with the second to last episode. So I'm very good, highbrow, like high level D&D, highly recommend. Real quick, the other thing I watched was Everything Everywhere All at Once, directed by the Daniels. Great movie. I mean, if you know anything about it, you've probably heard that it's a very good movie. Very popular. It was put out by A24, the production company, and it became their highest grossing release to date, surpassing Uncut Gems with Adam Sandler. Very good. I won't say much on it, just that it's very, very good. And I recommend it if you like movies. It's a good movie.
Hey, kid, you like movies?
Well, now, with that out of the way, I think it's time. What did we watch this month?
It's Such a Beautiful Day.
We watched It's Such a
What did we watch?
It's Such a Beautiful Day, directed by Don Hartsfeld. 2011 was when the project was finished. It was three parts, and then they put it together in a film.
If I might interject just in the beginning of this, because you have a lot of backstory on or a lot of background on this, not backstory. I'm gonna let you lead this, but I'm just gonna pop in and say, hey, if you want to watch this movie, I've got some trigger warnings for you. Lots of flashing, if that's an issue. A lot of flickering and like lights and stuff. It's kind of disturbing. A lot of like mental illness and surgeries and like kind of blood and injuries and stuff. So that's not your bag. Maybe skip this one.
Yes. I hope that I gave you enough of a heads up. I just said it was disturbing. I didn't go into detail. So I hope.
It was fine. And it's definitely not graphic. The way these are drawn are like stick figures, but it's still like the way they like flicker and like superimpose other images on can kind of be disorienting, you know, if that's something that you have difficulty with.
Yeah, I think before we get into the plot of it, it is very much hand animated stick figures. I mean, it is pin to pad looking animation. Laid over top of that is very experimental. Experimental is, I think, the best word I can put. I mean, more so than what you've said, because it's just surreal and strange animation to tell this little story. And it's not an easy watch in some ways. Do you want me to kick off the plot for it?
I mean, I'm gonna say just like a quick little synopsis, because I can't even begin to like walk you through the beats of this. So basically, it's almost presented like a documentary, like almost like a nature video. Almost. There's a narrator, and he's telling you what's happening to this man named Bill. And you can basically kind of get from what's happening is like Bill's struggling with some kind of like mental illness or some kind of like injury in his brain. And we kind of see that he also has like a long like family history of like different mental illnesses. And we kind of see like his journey with that as well as like his family's journey with it.
Yeah, it is his deterioration and kind of just, I mean, in some ways the downfall of his life, kind of depending on how you take the film. It's, yeah, it's his experience. It's Bill's experience. And it is actually, it is narrated by Don Hartsfeldt as well, who does, I love the narration of this so much. I frequently, since I've rewatched this a couple times now, anytime we're out for a walk, I'll be like, it's kind of a really nice day. And just kind of, it is really good. I don't know that there's a, I don't want to go the beat by beat of the story just cause it's all over the place and it's only an hour long. I mean, it's just that you summed it up perfectly. Yeah. That is the story of Bill. What did you think of this movie? I'm very, very curious as to what you thought of this movie.
I thought it was really, really well done. Cause it kind of has that like, almost like a break in the fourth wall kind of thing. Cause it's like the narrator is narrating everything that's happening to this poor man in a very like objective way of just like, these are the facts. Like, this is what's happening. This is how Bill feels. And then like, there's parts where Bill's overwhelmed. So like you can hear the narration, but there's all these other voices like on top of it. So like you as the listener are feeling overwhelmed because you can't hear the narrator and you're seeing Bill like kind of freak out, you know, later on as Bill continues to deteriorate, the narrator will start repeating phrases like that. It's such a beautiful, like, it seems like a really nice day. Like, I think they go through that scene like three times. And, you know, the narrator starts saying very, very odd things. So it was really well done. Like, it was very, very good. It's not like a movie I'd be like, hey, you have to watch this. Unless that's your kind of thing, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, you would probably like this. You know, it's not necessarily my bag, but I think it was really well done.
Yeah, I don't fault anybody who watches this and doesn't like it by any stretch of it. It is one of my favorite movies. I'd not really forgotten about it, but it had always been kind of in the back of my head, and I didn't remember the kind of impact it had on me. I watched it almost 10 years ago, and less than 10, it was probably 7 or 8, doesn't matter. But rewatching it, I rewatched it twice now, and it is for a certain type of person, and you know, yeah, you, but it was, and that person is me.
People like a Brandon.
People like me. It is just, I have so much to chew on watching this that I have such a respect because like, I kind of take away from it, like, well, I guess that would be actually kind of before I put my stuff into it. Did you have like a takeaway from it that you felt? Which, if not, that's fine. I just, out of curiosity, was there like a message you got from it or anything along those lines?
I really wouldn't say there is. Again, like I thought it was a really good, like almost a highlight of like what people deal with when they're going through something like that. I think that it was very like educational in a way, and like it wasn't hard to follow, like, because it's never explicitly said what is wrong with Bill, but you like, you pick it up enough that you're like, wow, like that must have been like really hard. And you kind of experience that hardship. And I mean, I think that's really cool, but I wouldn't necessarily, I was like, I'm going to take something away from this.
Yeah. And it definitely does. I mean, just kind of the pace by pace for what Bill goes through and to kind of, to zoom in a little bit on his deterioration, it starts with just kind of some simple, not simple, but I mean, I guess it's somewhat just everyday memory loss, and then goes further into his overall inability to recognize almost anything in his life.
There's at some point that like his one of his hands goes numb and he keeps dropping things and his like depth perception's off and he keeps running into doors and walls and things. And then, yeah, he's like, I know who this is because of her long hair, but I don't know what her name is. Like things like that.
Right. I think for me, what I kind of took away, and that makes it kind of just, it touches me so, is the final kind of segments of the movie, where because Bill eventually kind of takes matters into his own hands and starts just kind of driving into the night until he reaches like a very scenic forest type area, and then lays down, and it's somewhat viewed as though he passes away. Until the narrator kind of cuts in and again breaks that fourth wall and rejects that as reality and starts talking about how Bill goes on to live for all of eternity. And I think pairing that kind of with the rest of the story, I just get an ultimate sense of like doing your best to love life no matter the situation, because it's such a beautiful day. So I just kind of get a sense of, you know, taking what you have as best you can. Like, it's never going to be pretty. Ultimately, life's a very messy process. And so it's not as much as like, it's like the healthy sort of positivity, which sounds really weird to say in terms of this film.
Yeah, no, but I mean, toxic positivity is absolutely like an issue in society right now. So yes, actual positivity. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, I just kind of well up every time I've gotten to that end where it's like, you know, Bill goes on and continues to study forever and ever. Cause it's like, I think also too, I mean, like, I personally have dealt with, you know, anxiety surrounding death and everything. And so I think there's something also to it that it kind of paints death in a really kind of pretty light of like, well, the alternative, do you want to live forever? No, like, because that's also its own version of sad. And so like, I don't know. I think what makes this film really good as well is that like you can watch it and, you know, not take away those things from it. And it's absolutely the same. It's not, I don't like being like, you gotta take a thing from a, you know, no.
Right.
It's just, if you want to, it's there. I also, in terms of other things that I've been watching, after I watched this a couple times, I went through and I watched everything that Don Hartsfeld has ever released. So shy of one thing that he put out, which was an animated kind of interview he made of himself where he took away the questions, I guess. I don't know. It's only on the Blu-ray release of his films, which I don't own. Yeah, I went through his entire back catalog and found every animated thing he's ever put out. Nice. And it's very interesting to watch because he goes from, have you ever seen Rejected Cartoons?
Yeah.
So that's also Don Hartsfeld. And it's like that point in his career that he kind of, that's not really necessarily true. There's just some of his earlier work where it's like, he could have gone in one of two directions, like more of like almost like South Park style satire or this kind of like, I don't know how this,
yeah, it's heavier.
Yeah. And that's the direction he went. Obviously it was the heavier stuff. His most recent release is World of Tomorrow, which is three episodes. And it is right in line with this, but it's his first time that he's done one that's computer animated. But it's still stick figures. It's just a little bit more than that as well. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm just a big fan of it. I don't know. There's a lot that I really like about this. There was another question I had. I don't know. Do you have anything?
Not really.
This is kind of a nervous recommendation for me. And so I'm really glad.
Oh, yeah.
you watched it and that you liked it, at least enough, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it was, so for me with like movies kind of, movies that are kind of like this, that are just like really like pondering and like existential and like kind of deal with like those things, like I know it's good when I don't have a lot to say. Like this feels very much like the Red Turtle to me, almost. Like I really, really liked it, but I it was just good. Like I don't have a lot to say about it because it was like meaningful and impactful and it was good. I couldn't have put what you said into words. Like, you know, now that you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, like I could totally see getting that from this. But it's just like, man, that was heavy.
No, yeah, it's definitely one too that like I when I first watched it, I don't think I had anything. I was like, yeah, that was good. I don't know. I feel things.
yeah.
Does this remind you of any other? Do we do that segment on this show? My brain's kind of fried.
I think we do sometimes. I mean, I already said it reminded me of the Red Turtle.
Yeah. Yeah. It also reminds me, there's a film called Synecdoche, New York that if there's any, like, yeah, there's definitely things to think about, like to be warned about in terms of going into this film. You had mentioned kind of the like upsetting bright lights, like the flashing lights. That's that feeling is also kind of in Synecdoche, I feel like, where it just kind of almost like feels like it's like intentionally headache inducing at times.
Yeah.
But I really like Synecdoche, New York as well. So maybe I'm just talking about things that I like. I don't know.
That's kind of the podcast.
Just talking about things we like. That's true.
Yeah.
This is definitely 2D.
Yes, there are. There's a little bit of overlap with like live action footage that's like interspersed, but it's not a lot.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't recommend this for kids.
Oh yeah, this is not for kids at all. Do not make a kid watch this.
I'd probably be pretty upsetting, I think.
Yeah, I think, I don't actually know what the rating is on this, but I imagine it would be like a TV like 16 or at least or something.
I don't think it actually is rated. I think it didn't go through the rating process even. So yeah, I would say at least TV 16, if not.
Yeah. Because it's not like, it's not overly vulgar or anything. It's just kind of disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and real quick to kind of point out that too, it is kind of disturbing. Is it also not really funny at times too? Like a lot.
Oh yeah. There are parts that are very, very funny.
Like I've tried to, like, there's like that stupid leaf blower scene that goes on for like 5 minutes where he's just, and I don't know. There's lots. It's hard to remember because there's so many little vignettes and scenes in this.
Yeah.
He's got a concern early on. He always picks fruit from the back of the fruit trays because he's upset at the fact that the front of fruit trays are at crotch level of everybody else. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And then he later, while as he's degenerating, goes to the grocery store and finds that all the people there have giant genitalia that they have shoved into all of the fruit. Mm-hmm. At the grocery store. They don't really, I mean, you kind of, I assume it's supposed to be like a scrotum. You get a little bit of that. But
big bulges.
Big bulges. Again, it's not graphic.
Again, yeah, stick figures.
Yeah.
What movie? It's a trip.
I think I did, like, it's supposed to be kind of disturbing, but I did kind of laugh when they kind of go through Bill's, like, family history of his family and, like, their issues. Specifically, his grandma apparently wanted to kill him when he was a child. And so there's like this montage of like her thinking of all the ways she could kill him, like as a toddler. And she like shot puts him at one point and there's like a marker and she just keeps doing it and like trying to get him further. And then she also like rubs dead cat heads on her head. Equally disturbing but funny at the same time.
Yeah, that whole sequence whenever they go back through his history, his grandma's history as well, it always cracks me up. They're like, and then he was hit by a train, and then like and then his next relative, he also was hit by a train, and then his last was like, and then she was set on fire. and then hit by a train. And like, I just, I love anything too that can make me laugh beside myself. Like where I'm like just like that, like the shot putting the baby or the rubbing the dead cat heads on the head. You're like, like I can't help but like laugh at it, but it is.
Yeah, you're like, this is so disturbing. Like,
oh man! All right, I think that's it. I don't want to.
Yeah, we were kind of heavy on the intro because I knew I didn't have a ton to say about it.
It is something else.
It's just you have to see it. Like, it's not. You can't talk about it too much.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's only an hour long. So like, if you start to kind of really break down like every scene by scene, that'll be the movie. It's something else, but I thank you. This was definitely, we kind of went on the selections that weren't, viewer recommended. We went kind of back and forth and this was one that I recommended and, yes. Super glad we got to it.
Yeah. I also have, I'll be honest, I have no idea what our next movie is.
Yeah, I'm getting that pulled up here. It is.
Cool. I was trying to stall for you. I could tell you.
You're good. I was, see, I feel like IMDb does this sometimes. They change the names of movies. Or there's like different names for stuff. So next month, for the month of July, on July 25th, we will be watching what we have here in our notes is Sky Blue, but apparently is also named Wonderful Days. It is a 2003 South Korean movie. Yes.
That sounds familiar.
This is one that was on the list when I just kind of went through and found a bunch of them. And then you were like, we should watch this one. And I don't think either of us know anything about it, but it looks really cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it back up. Man, I went to Netflix and I guess it is on Netflix. And I just immediately saw that creepy clown. And I was like, well, I didn't need that.
I thought you meant the movie we were going to watch. Like, it's on Netflix. And I was like, oh, sweet. That's awesome.
No.
Not a fan of Pennywise?
I mean,
that's fine.
No,
no, I don't.
Okay. This is the one that looks really cool. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We both had the same thing. Like, what do I say about this? This just looks really neat. Like, it looks super cool. Yeah.
Well, I think when I first saw it, I thought it was like a big, like, robot behind him, but it's like an archway with like a bunch of arches and columns and stuff. And I was like, oh man, I really thought that was a giant robot. Maybe. But it's a cool, there's a motorcycle.
Maybe it's the inside of a giant robot. Like, that's the spine.
Oh, maybe.
I'm just trying to build up hype for it, you know.
Get us. Yeah. It has a domed city. Our protagonist is going to protect survivors a century after war plunged Earth into a perpetually raining nuclear winter. There you go.
It sounds like
it's going to be an action-packed July.
It sounds like you're at like a pitch meeting trying to like sell this to like the people to make it, but you're actually like not very interested in it. You're like, I just got, like, you didn't do the research on it. You're like, it's got motorcycles and our protagonist,
the intern.
And they're gonna save a futuristic city. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
It's great. Anyways, I hope you join us for that really exciting movie. That's definitely real.
Yes. And do you want to tell people how they can reach out to us?
Yeah. So if you go to your front door, you unlock it, you open it, you step outside, you begin to yell. No, I'm just kidding. You can contact us on Instagram or Twitter. Or Gmail if you got a lot to say at 2D or not 2D pod, or no, cast at gmail.com or just 2D or not 2D cast on Twitter and Instagram.
And yeah, that's going to do it for us.
Oh. Yeah, also where we host our podcast, I always forget, anchor.fm. You can send us voice memos and we can pop you in here if you'd like.
Yeah. If you got something to say about this movie or a movie in the past, we'll resurface it. It doesn't have to be the current one.
That's fine. You've got strong opinions. Those aren't on a timeline. Yeah. We can throw them in here.
Yeah, I'm waiting for all those Town Call Panic haters to tell us we were wrong.
We've been waiting for you.
because that was an awesome movie. I want to go back and watch that again.
Very good. Yeah.
I still to this day
say,
oh no, yeah. All right. Well, we will be back next month. I am repressing a cough at this very moment, so I think
make sure you
tune
in next time.